Welcome to the Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration. Eurospace Hub aims to digitally connect the space ecosystem in Europe, from tech transfer offices to industry, space accelerator networks, research centers, and other universities. Eurospace Hub will allow these actors to easily connect with financial opportunities from the Horizon Europe framework to space research, space technology, and to accelerator programs. Eurospace Hub will bridge the gap between academic institutions and industry using a collaborative ecosystem and entrepreneurial mindset inside the universities and beyond. Every month, with the Eurospace Hub special episodes, we want to share stories about space technology and research with you. Enjoy the conversation.
Today, your host is Serena Crotti, Press and Communication Manager at Lunex Euromoon Mars. Our guests are four participants from the Ample campaigns, Brent Freeman, Sara Sulbiati, Kiran Gautam, and Philip Frering. They will tell us about their experiences as analog astronauts inside a moon-based simulator in Poland. Enjoy the conversation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode dedicated to the Eurospace Hub project. And today we are going to talk about analog missions. We have with us four astronauts who participated in different Ample missions. Kiran Gautam, she's currently a Master's of Science student in Molecular Biology in Belgium. Sara Sulbiati from Italy, she's a PhD student in Biomedical Engineer. Philip Frering, he is a PhD and Aerospace Engineer in France. And Brent Raymond, psychologist and Master's of Science Studies from Belgium. Then you also have myself, because I was also part of the Ample 8 mission as vice commander. So we will try to have a conversation today to find out more about these missions through the experience of the guys who are here with us. So just to start, what are Ample missions in a nutshell? Ample missions are short-term simulations that take place at the Analog Astronaut Training Center facility located close to Krakow in Poland, and which are organized in collaboration with Lunex Euromoon Mars, one of the partners of the Eurospace Hub project. And during these short-term simulations, we simulate several aspects of life in space. So let's turn to the astronauts now, and I will start with Kiran. Hello, Kiran.
Hello, Serena. Thank you, first of all, for the invitation, for both Serena and Yara for inviting on the podcast.
So the first question for you, just to break the ice a little bit, is how did you learn about the Ample mission and why did you decide to take part into a mission of this kind? And how did you find out about the possibility of joining one of these missions?
So first, the main major inspirations were my mentors, and I am currently doing my thesis in Belgian Nuclear Research Center. And my mentors, they have already participated in one of the previous Ample missions. And when they used to share their stories about how they have performed the experiments and the work they had done and how they coordinated with the crew, this really intrigued my interest. And I was like, okay, I have to participate. And I started to inquire more about it. And then through my professor, Sarah Batu, I came in contact with Euromoon Mars and then with the Analog Astronaut Training Center. And by this, I got enrolled in one of Ample campaign, Ample 11. And there I started my journey. And why did I decide to take part in Ample mission was because I am already working on stress development in at a cellular level with my cells, as I'm a biologist. So I was also looking how it plays a role at a psychological level or what is happening in isolated and confined condition. And this was the perfect conditions of what Analog Astronaut Training Center was giving to me, because it was isolated and confined and we were a whole crew and we were isolated and sticking with the schedule and the activities. So this was the perfect situation to study for my experiment. And yeah, that's all. Thank you.
That's cool. You know, during Ample mission, students find out about this experience in different ways. So for example, Sara, you're a PhD student and from another university. So what's the story for you? How did you find out about this mission?
Yeah, actually for me, being in this mission was something unexpected, but hoped. I've always been searching for a new possibility to develop in space field. I'm researching on space physiology, and I've always been on the other side. So I've always been working as a researcher in many research projects in the space field. But yeah, once I was talking to my professor about the possibility to be a possible candidate for an analog astronaut, we had some contact, and I came in contact with Europe on Mars. And so I came into this EMPOL mission, that it was extremely important for me, as I said, to join the other side. So to be part of a crew. Actually, this experience was double-sided for me, because I both had the possibility to implement and perform experiments, but also to be a test subject, and so to be part of this experiment.
Cool. So now let's dive a bit more in detail into the structure of the mission. So I would like to turn to Brent. He was the commander of the EMPOL 8 mission. So I would like to ask you, can you just give us an overview about how these missions are organized and what are the typical roles during a mission and the tasks during the mission for the analog astronaut?
Yes. So basically how the missions are organized, we all come together on the platform of Euromoon Mars. And there we have meetings on Friday where we meet everyone involved in everything, basically. And there we get a lot of information already of how everything is planned. And then specifically for the EMPOL missions, there are meetings, and those are solely preparing for the EMPOL campaigns. So there, all the crew and remote support, professors from students, they all come together in the meetings and they start preparing. So they can ask questions, they know what to do with their experiments, they know what is needed there. And then they also start dividing their roles. So basically, there's room for 6 people each mission. It could also be less. So like there were 5 of us. And there are different roles you can choose from. So there's always a commander, always a vice commander, a communication officer, and a medical officer. And then there are other roles like astrobiologist, mechanical engineer, biomedical engineer, data officer. So there's many things you can do relating to your own experience or not. Like I was the commander. I never really had taken a leadership role before, but it was fine. As long as you are attending those Monday meetings, it's preparing you very well for the tasks you have to perform there. And so, yeah, you're locked in there. There's no sunshine. There's no shower. You schedule everything and you just try your best to finish your experiments and interact with your crewmates, because you'll be seeing them every day, every minute, every hour. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was also our experience together in the EMPOL 8 mission. Yeah. Okay, so you gave a bit of an overview about this organization. And also you already mentioned some aspects of life in space that can be simulated. So you mentioned the absence of windows, so no sunlight at all for the astronauts locked there. You also mentioned the fact that basically astronauts cannot wash themselves, because that's what they do also in space. So I think that maybe now our audience can just have an overview about what these EMPOL astronauts are doing inside there.
Listening to a Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration.
Crew dynamics really plays a crucial role in the success of the mission, and the coordination is very important. And as you mentioned, Serena, that there are we crew members are from different backgrounds of our academic profile, and we have come together, and especially in my crew in EMPOL 11, we were like really different. And one was biomedical engineer, aerospace engineer, physicist, chemist, and also from master's and undergraduate programs as well. And the coordination, indeed, the very first day, it was really nice that we were all from international background and different background. And this was the common point which interested each every one of us to come together and speak and find out different common points among each other. And also, I'll say we learn different things from each other. apart from experiments, what are the experiments each and everyone are doing of the individual experiments based on their academic profile, and also what the place where they are coming from, the culture. It's really nice when we share along with each other. And the crew dynamics, as I said, it is really important for the success of the mission. And the cohabitation in my crew inside the Luna base, it was really amazing. And we really had a good time together. We had spent a lot of time together. And we knew each other's weakness and the strength points. And also the commander of our mission, Felipe, he really managed well along with us. And he knew, okay, this is the thing. Okay, she has some weakness or this and that. He knew where to play along with like this, discussing together, which is really nice. And if our experiments would go wrong, we would come together and discuss together, finding a common solution. Especially me, I was a biologist in the mission. And when things were not well, and I came to discuss along with my crew, and all together, they were really supportive. And this is the main strength as in a crew. And crew also, apart from giving the mission support, they also give you a main moral support, which is required. So we were like a family inside. And this was the best part of the mission. And we still miss each other, and we are in touch with each other.
That's great. And I feel it's something that we also had as an ample A crew. Brent, you can confirm or just not confirm. It depends on you. But I would say for me, it was the same. So yeah, I think it's interesting to know also your opinion, Brent, about the interpersonal dynamics inside, because as a psychologist, we were also performing our experiments together, specifically on emotions and interpersonal relations. So what's your view on this topic? What do you think that ample mission can give to students that find themselves like there in the lunar base?
Yeah, Kieran is absolutely right. The crew dynamics are the most crucial, important part of the mission, actually. The thing that I have learned the most on the basis of interpersonal skills was patience, because, you know, you have to deal with others constantly, and it's not like you can get out. Well, you can, but then the mission is over. So patients learn how to interact and cooperate with your crew members, because in the end, the whole point of the mission is that you learn how to deal with being with your crew members in such a small place. You know, you still have to focus on your own experiments and your own goals in the habitat, but you also have to make sure that, you know, the mission is a success in a whole. Like, you have to avoid any arguments, any stressful situations. Then there is also, from MCC, you also get warned about emergency situations. Those are also very stressful. So yeah, it teaches you many things, but the most important takeaway that I've had was really how to interact well with other people, which is, you know, you do that in daily life as well, but you are in such an international environment. So you have different cultures, different personalities. It's quite an experience, yes.
Absolutely. And Sarah said, what do you take home with you from this experience in the Ample 11 mission? What soft skills did you learn, not only maybe in terms of, you know, interpersonal dynamics, but in general?
Yeah, sure. I think that the soft skills point is a very nice point to bring out of this conversation, because we are always thinking about astronauts as people who need to have strong technical skills. They need to know how to do research, science, engineering, and so on. But actually, they are living in an adult environment, which is isolation, confinement, distance from Earth, distance from society. And in this condition, with this background, you need to have some really strong soft skills, which in my mission, I realized, like, for example, interpersonal and social skills are very important, but also you need to have this background empathy to know how to communicate with your crewmates and to deal the best possible with teamwork, because teamwork is key when you are confined in isolation with other people working on science and living with them. But also, there are some other soft skills which can be defined more towards more merging between soft and technical skills, which are like management, includes time management, management of space research, management of the interactions with with other team members. And you need to have this critical thinking because you will be required to solve a number of problems which maybe you never thought about a solution for it. And you need to be creative and to find a solution with what you have inside the day. And of course, the resources are limited there, but creativity has no limits. And so, you need all these sort of social soft skills to live well and to perform well and to be a success both as a crew and as a mission.
Absolutely. So these missions really give you a lot in terms of personal development, let's say, and growth. And so if we try to put them instead in the perspective of the development of a professional curriculum for a young professional, maybe there are some young students that are listening to the podcast and they want to understand how this mission could like benefit their professional growth. So, Philip, what would you comment on this?
I think are really, really good for personal growth in terms of professional environment. And first of all, you're working a lot with an international team. So in space field, working in multicultural, multidisciplinary field is really, really important, and it's the base of world cooperation in space. So first, I think that's the most important point. The second point is that being in an arch and hostile environment for a week really helps you understand how you work, and knowing how you work and how you feel really helps finding a job that fits you, that suits you. It also shows you that you have dedication, patience, a good, of course, science, engineering, technological level. It gives you also a lot of contacts among the missions, on the mission control center, all the guys, the primary investigators of all the experiments. So just meet a lot of people, and you're all interested in the same field. You'll all find yourself a lot of similarities. So yeah, it's just good for your network, and it's just good for you to learn how you feel, how you are. And that's a thing HR really enjoy.
Yeah, I think this point is very interesting, what you mentioned. So you find, at least this was also from my experience, you suddenly find yourself surrounded by many space enthusiasts and space experts, and you can really start networking a lot. You find out about new disciplines that personally I didn't even know about because I was not like incubated inside the space sector. And that's a very big opportunity that is given by this mission. Learning how to interact with experts, knowing new key people, and start building your own network as a young professional or as a young student facing this field for the first time. So this answer from Philip was a good link to the third part of this podcast, which is more about the Eurospace Hub project, because what emerges from this conversation is that AMPUL missions and the Eurospace Hub project have some points in common. So they train young professionals in the field and for aerospace, of course, and also they help them grow both personally and professionally. So I would like to ask a question to Sarah. Now we are going into more tricky questions, like more complex questions. We are now in an era where I think it's not enough anymore to do just science and research, but you also need, if you are a young student facing aerospace for the first time, you also need to think with some entrepreneurial skills that help you deal with this new space economy, which is totally different from what was in the past. So as a young professional in the field, what do you think is this Eurospace Hub project? What's the meaning for you?
Yeah, so I think that networking is the key word here. So as a young researcher in space field, the academia gave me many research fields. But being in contact with this community was for me the first time in which I developed. I started thinking about, I need to build some entrepreneurial mindset. And to bring this into my research. And so this gave me the possibility to be in contact with multiple people, multiple environments, starting from my AMPUL mission. As Kiran mentioned, we are all coming from different backgrounds, and this helped me a lot for connection, networking. And I think this all makes space more accessible. And I think this is important. Like I was saying, the keyword is networking, because as I was doing up to now, it was one way, but space is not one way. You know, space is multidisciplinary. And to be inside space, you need to have a lot of connections. You cannot do it all on your own. So you need someone to help you, to guide you also into this new entrepreneurial mindset that is key for developing new ideas and to cultivate your ideas into the future to develop that.
If you want to be part of the European space innovation ecosystem in a digital format, go to our website to read more information about how to join. www.eurospacehub.com.
I think that experiments and technologies that are tested in Ample Mission cannot just be developed by one researcher alone, usually. So you need different kind of experts to interact with or collaborations. For example, in our mission, we had an experiment which started from my design research, but then I needed a psychologist and it was Brent and it was a perfect match. So it became our experiment on psychology and design. And then we also had a software engineer that helped us in developing the experiment and the technology necessary to perform it. Today, we cannot, as young researchers, we cannot think on just simple experiments and simple research that we perform alone. But of course, if we want to produce something innovative, we need to interact with other people that have different skills and backgrounds. So, Kiran, what's your view on this? So, Eurospace Hub is a really innovative ecosystem that bridges different fields and areas to produce innovative results. So, what's the meaning of innovation for you? And what's your personal view of collaborative innovation?
Yes, Serena. For me, what innovation is, it can be small innovation or really big innovation or something coming out. But the important thing is it can be used by people. The application is important for an innovation. And for that, it requires entrepreneurship skills or the collaborations to reach to the market. And there is where the bridging takes place between the science and innovations and applications. For me, this is what innovation is. And also, as with this, I remember what Charles Darwin quoted. We have seen in the histories where the collaborations have occurred and this improvised effectively all the products. And this is what is required. And if we innovate something and if it cannot be applied, it just remains over there. But when it is applied and it is used to increase the quality of life or ease the life of the people, this is where, it is being used. And that is what the main motive of innovating something.
Absolutely. Instead, turning to Philip, did you make use of external sponsor and collaboration to perform your own experiments? So from your personal experience, how was the dealing with relationship with external stakeholders for successful results of the Ample Mission?
Yeah, so of course, there are many, many experiments inside the habitat, but most analog astronauts getting inside bring their own sets of experiments. So could be as a student experiment, a private company experiment. So yeah, for my experiment, I was in collaboration with a private company, a mechanical laboratory working on mobility and trying to control and to monitor the back pain for the evolution of the body of astronauts in space. So worked for a few months before the missions. We had to prepare everything, load the software, develop the technology, develop the procedure, the technology also. So it is quite a long job to do. But fortunately, the company was really, really helping with the mission. They had communication with them through the mission control in order for them to check the data, check the protocol, how it was going. So in case I had any issue, they were there trying to help, because of course the mission time is really small, it's only 7 days, so we have to be really, really efficient on how it works and how the experiments are prepared. And that's why we are preparing a lot, as Ben said earlier, so a lot of preparation. But yeah, most of us are working in collaboration with these companies. And these companies fit really well in that kind of environment because they know we are a data tester for their experiment, their technology, their procedure.
One last question of this round to our mission psychologists. How does emotional intelligence affect the ability to collaborate actively and professionally with other experts? What's the role of emotional intelligence in determining the success of an AMPL mission?
Yes. So the concept of emotional intelligence was introduced to me by a psychologist. Her name is Celia Avila Rauch. She's a psychologist in Munich. And emotional intelligence means that the ability to understand and manage your own emotions in order to relieve stress, communicate effectively, diffuse situations, and overcome challenges. So I believe that people with a higher emotional intelligence, so people who are in touch with their emotions and also others, will have a more successful mission. Because like I said earlier, I think the interactions between crewmates is a very important factor of mission success. And so how we used the emotional intelligence in our mission was, like Selena mentioned before, the collaboration between us on the emotion wall. So I gave the psychological input. Selena made the whole design. So we connected our emotions with colors. And then we projected basically our emotions on the wall inside the habitat. So any given moment of the day, we were aware of the general emotional state of our crew, so not specifically. So we were free to comment on what we were feeling. So when there was red was connected with anger or irritation. And of course, sometimes it was a situation. And our crew was very well with this and very open with this. And so we would all look at the emotion wall, and when there was red present, would all comment on, like, you know, I am feeling now frustrated or irritated because of this. And we were able to act on it very well. And I'm very, very proud of that, because I really think that it's something that we can work with in the future as well. So yeah, the emotional intelligence is a very important concept, because even though, especially in this sector, we all, like we can see now here as well, we all have very different backgrounds, but as human beings, we all have one thing in common, and that's the fact that we all have the same emotions. So if we learn how to deal with this in a proper way, I think that's very important for the future of space exploration.
And also one cool thing is, I think that it's worth to share, is that we noticed that also happiness can spread around. So not only like spotting anger or irritation, but also being aware of one's happiness or enthusiasm in something is just like boost the same feeling we spread all around the crewmates. And that's really something that increases the success, just chances of missions in those highly demanding environments. Okay, so yes. Thank you to all these AMPL analog astronauts.
Listening to a Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration.
Now we are coming to a conclusion, so we just have some very easy questions to finish this conversation. I will just go around a bit to find out about your answers. Sara, what is a book you would like to recommend to the people that are listening to our podcast?
Well, actually, I enjoy reading classic books. My favorite book is called Fastly, the Nest of Spiders, which is an Italian book from an Italian writer. And I really enjoy it. The background is Second World War. So it's kind of an important theme, but everything is seen from the eye of a child who is able to inspect the complex situation and the complex feelings and emotions of adults, which are really complex, but explained from a different point of view. It gives an interesting idea of the world. So again, thinking out of the box is important, and inspecting the situation is important, and critical thinking is important. So I think it is a good mix of culture and requires.
Absolutely. So inside the habitat, we couldn't drink any coffee because of the experiments that we were performing and all the medical tests we were running. Coffee routine in the morning for you, Brent, when you're outside the habitat, and which kind of breakfast?
I remember that as an Italian, that was very hard for you to not have coffee.
Yeah, I remember as well.
Yes, but I would choose coffee as well. I was never really a big tea drinker, but so coffee, it just has so many benefits. It keeps you up. It's cozy. Yeah, I missed it as well.
Last question to Kiran, to know you a bit more. What's the holiday type of an analog astronaut?
Okay, so my favorite type of holiday, it would be somewhere near the ocean, beaches, beachside. And in India, I have one of the favorite spots, which is Goa. And it's like really a beach place. And I really would like to be there in my holidays. And it's really refreshing to be there. And it feels like the when you see the edge of like the really the ending point of the sea and the water and the clouds, like it feels like they are like mixing together. It's really beautiful to see that.
I guess you missed that a lot when you were locked inside the lunar base with no windows,
yes,
and no landscape and nothing to see. And what
yes,
for you,
yes.
Philip?
I think I'm more like a mountain guy. So I think the perfect holiday would be going in the mountain, biking, hiking, enjoying nature. Something that you really enjoy after a week inside the habitat. But yeah, more like a cold mountain skiing guy.
This was the last question for this podcast. I would like to really thank all the Ample guys from Ample 11 and Ample 8 who were here in this podcast. And I hope to see maybe in future some of our audience and people who are listening in the Ample missions, because they are really open to students, different universities, and also young professionals, as we mentioned in. Thank you very much. And if you guys want to say goodbye.
Yes, thank you very much, Serena, for having us here today. Really great sharing our vision. And we hope to see you again.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Serena. Thank you, Yara, for giving us this possibility to present our opportunity as analog astronauts, and I hope this will help future analog astronauts as well.
Yes, thank you very much. And you did a great job, Serena, on moderating the conversation.
Thank you, Serena, and thank you, Vara, for this wonderful session. And it was really nice, again, to get back with the crew members and also sharing a wonderful experience and reliving the memories.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to our Eurospace Hub special episode from the podcast Business of Collaboration. Please share this podcast with your space friends and leave comments on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or on Stitcher. See you next month for another story and interview. In the meantime, you can learn more about us on www.eurospacehub.com.